Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet in your browser at WFPR.FM or in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, that thing with knobs and maybe the push buttons. You can preset 102.9 on the FM band. But we're virtually today with another candidate, this time for Planning Board Associate, William Lee. William, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for taking the time, Steve. This is a big deal for me. First time on the ballot.
First time on the ballot is always a big deal, yes. But it's a big deal for Franklin because, especially for new folks, you know, like we need to find out, and this from my own point of view, which is how I approach most of my reporting, what do I think I need to know? And thereby, we've set up some similar questions. So for reference for the listeners, if you're new, hopefully you're here and will stay for the rest of them. If you've seen some of the others, you're somewhat aware that, you know, there's a standard set of questions, three questions standard across all, and then for role specific, town council versus planning board, clearly there's a different nature of the business, so we'll ask different questions. But all to the end that, at least with the standard questions, for each of the roles, we should be able to say, oh, they said this, they said that, I want to go this way. And at least have some set of comparison as opposed to nothing much else. So that's what we're about. And we'll start at the beginning. So, Will, if people don't know you, and I don't know you that well, we've met a couple of times, and I'm excited to find out more about you. So tell us your Franklin story, either here or your... You got here and your involvement in the community here, so we'll know a little bit more.
Yeah, happy to. So, you know, my wife and I moved to Franklin in October of 2020, so we're coming up on 5 years this month. I used to teach down in Attleboro, and my wife teaches in Wayland, where she grew up. So Franklin was a good halfway point for
kind
us.
In between, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and we were looking for something. You know, we had looked all over Milford and Holliston, and we just happened upon a house in Franklin. Our realtor happened to notice it. We were on the highway leaving our seventh house showing in Milford, and my realtor, we were going down the Cape, and my realtor called us and said, what do you think about Franklin? And we were like, I mean, yeah, we've never really spent a lot of time there, but we know it. And she was like, okay, how far on the highway are you? We were like, well, we're just passing the Franklin exit. We're passing BJ's. And she was like, okay, get off the highway now. There's an open house that you guys are going to adore. And it had just ended. It ended at like 2 p.m. And she had contacted the realtor to see if they could get us in for, you know, a couple minutes. And we fell in love with it, put the offer in. And the family actually moved within Franklin. So that told us a lot. You know, like they lived there for, you know, they raised their kids in that house, and then they didn't leave the town. They moved to a different house in town. So we felt the connection pretty quick. Yeah, I mean, I jumped on Historical Commission as an associate in 2022. I wanted to get a little more involved. I felt like I didn't really have any connection besides I live here, and I didn't, needed a way to meet people and learn a little more about where I was living. And I try to be involved wherever I am, you know, however, whatever that looks like. And it's always, you know, it's always led me to connect with some pretty great people and, you know, be able to kind of shepherd, especially with the Historical Commission, like tell some of the stories that, that I learned from some of the other commissioners who are, you know, longtime Franklin residents. And I think we see ourselves as longtime Franklin residents in the future. I think it, you know, I work in Hopkinton now, but I don't, you know, no intention of moving at any point. We're really trying to set our roots down. So, yeah.
I would concur. We found when a company was reloading me and had the opportunity to move me to Mass, and it was like, okay, this is almost home because I grew up in Rhode Island. And yeah, we've been here 30 plus years at this point, and yeah, I have no intention of going anywhere else.
No, yeah, it's just, and now, you know, over the past couple months, last year I got the full member appointment to Historical Commission, and I joined Cultural Council just a little over a month ago, and now I'm running for Planning Board Associate Members if I needed one other thing to do. I moonlight on the weekends, and on Thursday nights I work at Birchwood Bakery over on East Central Street.
Yes.
So yeah, it's my home away from home too.
It's a good place to
Yeah.
be. I've been there for a
It
couple
is.
of poetry nights on Thursdays, and hopefully they'll
Yeah.
be coming back again.
I think I saw you at the last one.
It could have been,
I
yeah.
did.
I could
I was
have. You
working at
know,
one.
the circles are just so small in Franklin.
Yep. No, and I love that. It really feels like home now. And I grew up in Woburn, and I think I'll always bleed a little bit of black and orange, but I do love Franklin now, you know.
Definitely. Good. Well, the second question that everybody gets is, civil discourse is a key component of our democratic process. Clearly, on the party level, things have gotten really divisive. Fortunately, here in Franklin, specifically for a local election, it's nonpartisan. But there are still divides that we need to navigate. So, how would you, as an individual or in your role, help to, kind of bridge the divide or help foster, a civil discussion?
Well, I think that my background as a teacher, especially a social studies teacher over the last like 8 years where things have really shifted, I had to balance a lot, in class and moderate my own opinions and listen and try to give space for everybody to speak their mind respectfully, especially in middle school. Kids are notoriously respectful in middle school, right? So, no, so we have to foster that kind of environment where they can engage with each other and not be parroting their parents' political lines at each other, but respectfully. And it didn't always work out too well, but I like to think that I can maintain some neutrality. And hear everybody out. And then, in my work as assistant clerk, yesterday was my 1 year anniversary here in Hopkinton.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And running elections and serving the town in a nonpartisan way is the most important part of the job. We have to keep everything neutral. The office, the way we run things has to be completely blind. And just follow the regulations and rules no matter what. And treat every resident with the dignity they deserve, and make sure that they feel heard. So my boss Connor is elected, which makes us directly accountable to the people of Hopkinton. So it's a good place to be too.
Right. Yeah, that's certainly Nancy DiNello, our town clerk, is also elected, and there had been a question at one point, should she be elected, especially since, as you're aware, the clerk requires so many more certifications. It's
Right.
not just somebody can walk in off the street and attempt to do so. I mean, they may be able to at least start, but it's going to take some time to really get up to speed from what I understood. But the voters at that time said no. Maybe the voters will change their mind eventually. I'm not a forecaster, I'm a reporter, so
Now, there's pros and cons to it. Towns are kind of split 50. I don't know if it's 50-50 or 60-40 or what, but a lot of towns, their clerks are still elected. Cities are almost entirely appointed, and Franklin is technically a city, so it's one of the few city chartered communities that elect a clerk. Holyoke is actually a city and has a mayor, and they elect their clerk. And then there's one other that I can't think of off the top of my head, but
Yeah, there's only a few.
there's pros and cons. You get with an appointed clerk, it's they you're going through the qualifications and vetting, and with an elected, you're directly accountable to the people rather than an appointee, who could be potentially friends with, the city council or the mayor or whatever,
Right.
So there's, yeah.
Yeah.
And me and
Yeah.
Nancy, I'm going through the qualification process that Nancy went through right now, NEMC, the New England Municipal Clerks Institute.
Okay.
So I just finished year one this summer. I'm going to year two next summer. So it's 3 years to get there.
It does take some time, yes. Yeah, and I know our former town administrator loved to say the line, "We're a city, but I've got a town clerk."
True. And a town council.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So, what experience in or background, I think you've alluded to a couple of pieces of that, will help you serve in this particular role on the planning board? Or another way to phrase it, what do you bring to the table that potentially would help set you apart or at least work with, others competing for this position?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got a background in, boards and committees, boards and commissions in Franklin, and volunteer work. I think I can digress a little bit and say that I'm not totally well versed in the planning side. I get to see the back end of it in the clerk's office, because all the filings, all the planning board actions and minutes and missed meeting notifications get filed with us. So I know that end of it. And I'm very interested to, settle in and learn the process of, how the ins and outs of the board, how they come to decisions and deliberate. And I think something that works in my favor is that I just enjoy this material, and I'm always ready to learn it, and I'll learn it quick, is the way I try to live my life. So try to just take it all in, absorb it, and then use that to be informed. I think the associate spot's a good starting point for that. To it's I'm not a full member, so I can take kind of a back seat for some things, and just absorb it before I can engage. But
Right.
I read a lot. I keep up with the news in Franklin. I try to stay abreast of the issues, and that's just who I am. So,
Yeah. Thank you for that. Next question, moving into the planning board specifics. Do you support the goals and recommendations of the master plan? And if so, how would you work as a planning board member to implement those? Or if not, why not?
I do. I mean, it's such a multi-dimensional set of goals, right? Like economic development and sustainability goals and open space goals and historic preservation goals. And I think some of them, they can come to be at odds with each other, right? Like, there's or at least odds with the community. Some people, depending on how they rank their values, like do they want, more economic development? Do they want their property value to keep going up? Well, yeah, if you want that, you have to, accept that there's going to be economic development, in certain areas of the town. And so it's always this give and take with all of it. Broadly, yeah, I support all of it. I love Franklin. I want to see it. It's very vibrant. I want to see it reach its potential. There's some things in the master plan goals about unused lots and, trying to use the assets that we have in a more, trying to think of the word here, like a more practical way. I think something that comes to mind is like Acapulco's on the corner. It's been empty. That's a
The
prime.
former Acapulco's,
I
yeah.
know. I like,
Yes.
right.
In
Yeah. It's a prime spot for business. And
the
it's
Depot
been
building,
empty. Yeah.
yeah.
It's been empty as long as I've lived in Franklin. And it's just hard to see that, knowing like, okay, we've got, I see part of it when I work at Birchwood. I see, the market that is here, like what people are interested in. And, you want there to be growth. But I'm definitely of the mind that growth is not infinite, and it has to be sustainable. And sustainability at its core is just, okay, can we keep doing this safely and securely? And I think there's something that drew us to, or maybe there's some push and pull factors that brought us to Franklin. The pull is, wow, it's walkable. At least our neighborhood is walkable, and we've got the T right there, and we've got the college and the library and the common and the rail trail and all the stuff that's kind of within reach of us. And I want to see it stay that way. I'm a huge, huge supporter of walkability and not having to get in your car to do every little thing. But you have to recognize that things are going to get built. And I think on the preservation side, some of the sustainability goals are about preserving the character and the, or some of the master plan goals rather, are about preserving the character and the nature of Franklin, and I think from the historical commission standpoint of my mind, I'm wholly in support of that. That's what those neighborhoods are walkable because they were kept the same way. You look over at 140 West Central Street, cuts through what used to be Unionville, and it doesn't have a ton of character. It's a strip, and that could have been developed in a more thoughtful way. This is, we're talking 40, 50 years ago, when 495 was built, they wanted something to get people off the highway. And, but the foresight for what was lost wasn't really there. So there's a huge balance to be struck. And again, like, I need to learn a lot more about, the consequences of development. And there's a lot that I just there's a lot that you just can't know. You're not going to necessarily know the future consequences, but I think you can crack this stuff open and distill a lot of information and little rules of thumb out of it. And I think we have a lot to work with. And I don't know if I touched on all the master plan goals, but I tried to hit as
Well,
many as I could.
yeah, no, there's I think I don't know that I counted, but I think there's estimates it's between 100, 100 and 200 specific goals. So I wouldn't actually test you on that.
No, I did with the broad categories, I think there's like eight or so. And I definitely am a fan of open space. Like, we use Delcart with our dog pretty often. And I just, you want to see those areas stay open and stay preserved. And I love the town's commitment to that. And I want to be part of that. I want to be part of it all. That's the,
Sure.
yeah.
Definitely. And the next one is, and it may be a little bit premature, but while you're here and then you're getting into planning, so what's your vision for responsible, sustainable growth in Franklin?
Yeah, I think we should, tap into the assets that we have at hand, right? We have the T, we have, walkable neighborhoods. I think if we can build responsibly, and keep in mind, what people are going to use and where people are going to go, I think the idea that, like, okay, let's talk about a large project that's going in somewhere. Okay, are they gonna, how much driving are they gonna do? How much stress on the roads is gonna come up? Are they gonna be able to walk to the grocery store? Are they gonna be able to walk to the T to go to work in Boston? Are they gonna be hopping in the car and hopping on 495 to go to Worcester? Are they going to Providence? Or where are they, where are they going? What are they using? What town services are they going to have to tap into? And if we can try to balance, everybody agrees that the traffic is getting worse, and everybody agrees that, we're straining our water, or whatever. We need to keep that in mind as we build. And I think there is room for businesses to move in. You want to see new business come in that'll bring more commerce to town. And you got to think, okay, where are they going to park? Where are they going to go? Do we want a central business district that's car centric, or do we want more people coming in on foot? And this is kind of an aside, but there used to be a tram, right? All the way up and down from Medway to Wrentham, went right down Main Street. So back in the day, people, they didn't get it. They didn't get in their cars. They hopped on the tram and they took it downtown, or they took it to Medway, and then they switched, or they grabbed the train, to the Boston New Haven, New York Railway. And it's a shame that, we didn't keep that as a resource, because I know, I would love to take public transit to Providence, right? But I think we need to work with the assets that we have, and think about, future repercussions, and what we want the town to look and feel like, and keep our history, keep our character, and expand services. Maybe work with the state to see what we can bring out and bring in, how we can connect ourselves to the communities and get people to come in and, contribute to the economy and go to our festivals. And we just had the Harvest Festival. It's,
Yeah.
people, we have the train. People could get on the train in Walpole and they could hop off downtown and be right in the harvest, right in the center of the Harvest Festival. How cool is that? You
Sure.
get that stuff advertised. But it all comes together, right? It
Hopefully it
history,
all comes
culture.
together seamlessly. Yeah. One of the things related to the tram, pre-COVID, Gatra had a fixed route going along a set of some of the common spots, certainly along 140, effectively from, if I remember correctly, Big Y to Stop and Shop Plaza. We just, every so often it would go down and then
Come
stop
back.
along the way and then come back and go down. And people could at least depend upon it. Certainly COVID hit, they changed their model. The state also has continued to fund them. That's one thing that potentially we would get another avenue for if we could get to, and they're doing kind of an Uber type service today, but they at least have the data to say where the people are getting picked up and where they're going to, so that conceptually you could really model that, new set line and then make it more dependable. How long that's going to take? Who knows?
But at least it's there, at least there's something that can be built out. And we're not gonna put a tram down the middle of Main Street, up to Medway and down to Wrentham again, probably. But
No.
there's a time and a place for everything. We just got to figure out what those times and places are, for the things we want.
Right.
So
Definitely. And while we've covered a few topics, at least in the planning board space, is there something else that we have not yet discussed that you'd like to take the opportunity to, since we have this time and platform, to share with the voters and residents?
Well, I think, I think from my perspective, I love that there are a slate of new candidates coming out for town council and for school, well, not really for school committee, but planning board and board of health and all these other positions. I just think that local government is, it has the biggest impact on individuals, but it's the least paid attention to. And so, there's not a lot of engagement. And then people are mad and they don't know why things have changed or things have happened that really greatly impact their lives. And they weren't abreast of it when it was happening. And then, the federal politics are just all time consuming, in your face all day, every day, 24-hour coverage on the networks. And they don't impact the individual probably as much as local decisions do. Like, you don't see the decisions every day. Of course, there's an impact, but I think the ratio of like your ability to influence national politics is so minuscule, and compared to the impact that it has on you, it doesn't end up being something you see every day. Sometimes it is. Sometimes there's an aberration where something happens. I can think of a few things and it impacts you directly, but the local stuff, it your influence as an individual compared to what the impact is to you is way higher than national or state, for that matter. State's somewhere in the middle, I think. But there's like an engagement scale. It's like the least engaged, the least covered, you have the most influence over it and it impacts you the most. And then on the other hand, the national stuff is the most covered, but with a lower impact, and you have low influence over what's going to happen. So I think people are, the state is doing a better job. The curriculum was revised in 2018 to include civics for eighth graders, and it's supposed to also be civics for juniors, in high school. But a lot of that, it's kind of in a bubble, and you don't, it can be really dry, especially the local stuff. Like a lot of that civics class that I taught in eighth grade, it focused on national issues and maybe some state level, but very, very, very infrequently touching on local issues. But it's like the old adage, people say, well, they should have taught us about taxes in school. And I look back at that and I'm like, you wouldn't have paid attention, because it would have bored you to tears. That's just what. So now that, people are, I think people are more engaged on social media and they're talking to each other about what's going on at the local level. And they might be sometimes shining a flashlight into a really dark room and not seeing the full picture, but it's better than not turning a light on, right? And then just saying, well, the room's dark, I don't, whatever. Moving on. I hope we see higher voter turnout for this November election compared to some of the ones in the past. I've helped Nancy and the team with final count a couple times, and 2 years ago the turnout was pretty abysmal. So, and same thing in Hopkinton here in May, our turnout was about
It's not
nine.
unique to Franklin from what
N
I've
no,
understood.
no, no. It's
It's it's
pretty average across the board to see a 9% turnout for. So you're talking about 91% of registered voters just aren't going to vote for
yeah,
their
and
town positions.
the kind of the rule of thumb that I've developed in my reporting time, it's generally been about 20 on an average. Generally, it's more 16 to 20 for a non-clerk election if that's competitive. It'll be interesting to see this year because it's a clerk election, but it's not competitive. She doesn't have a competition this time. When those did occur, it was more in the 20 to 24%, so it was, but still around 20, but on the higher side. When we go to vote for a ballot, a debt exclusion or an override, that tends to be more in the 40% ballpark.
Absolutely.
State, 60% plus or minus. Federal, 80% plus or minus. So
Hey,
you,
and that's really good because the federal elections in some states they don't crest 45, you know. Kentucky's governor election, I think, in 20, and it was contested, I think it was 2022. They only pulled about 29% turnout, something
really?
like that. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So Massachusetts is, and I think the national average for presidential is usually around, mid-60s to 70. So the fact that we're pulling 80% turnout for those elections is really, really good.
Which makes it
Australia.
all the more disturbing that we're only
I know.
getting 20 for the local, which
I
is,
know.
you've said,
I
is the
know.
most
Or
impactful.
nine percent. What are we talking about here? But even, Australia has compulsory voting, and you get a $20 fine if you don't vote. And they only pull about 85% turnout, even with that. So we're doing the right things. We just need to extend it to local.
Indeed. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for stepping up as well.
Let me get off my soapbox for a minute.
To the listeners, thank you for listening. We'll include in the show notes and a slide at the end of this video with William's contact info and email. So if you haven't caught him either on a cultural event or a historical commission meeting or around the museum, you can catch him somewhere and then follow up on a question or reach out and say, "Hey, I heard you said this. Can we do this?" And continue the conversation. So, thank you again for doing this.
Hey, thank you, Steve. This is such an important function of our democracy, right? Having good journalism. So
Thank you.
much
And a
appreciated.
quick final reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors. Good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.